Okay, so at the bottom of Kaf Gimel Omer Aleph, the Gemara, playing off the Mishnah, was trying to figure out how many aliyahs there are on Shabbos and how the Maftir fits into that. When we say there are seven aliyot, and when we say that there's what we call the nickname for what we call the Maftir, the guy that lanes in order to then read the Navi, read the Haftarah, is that guy one of the seven, or is he an additional? Well, you're giving the answer.
Sorry. But you assume that you're calling up the Maftir for the sake of the Haftarah, so the Haftarah is addition.
You could imagine that there's seven aliyahs, and whoever the last guy is, afterwards, then he reads the Haftarah.
We repeat it. You repeat that Maftir.
That's what we do.
Oh, okay.
Right? But maybe whoever happens to be the last guy up.
It's like a Tanish Tzibur
on Mincha. Oh, and like a Tanish Tzibur on Mincha or on Yom Kippur. Mm. There are three aliyahs. And whoever the third guy up is, he then lanes the Haftarah. But it's not that you call three guys up on Yom Kippur afternoon, and then you call up a fourth guy to read whatever the last couple psukim are. And it,
are there any four?
No.
Days with four and
the only time you have a Haftarah in the afternoon is on Tanis Tzibur, including Yom Kippur.
Oh, the morning also, the same thing,
no? In the morning also, right.
The morning usual.
You do
in the morning
Tishwa,
on Shabbat. On Tishwa, yeah.
But it's not four.
And on you're going to say on Yom Ha'atzmut, you're going to say.
I'm just thinking about four.
No, but you don't have any aliyahs on Yom Ha'atzmut if it doesn't come out on Shini V'Chamishi.
The
Rav
Menachim.
Yes. So the Gemara had said that the Maftir, what the Gemara really says is the Maftir is not really an aliyah. The Maftir's principal job is to lay in the Haftarah. But, so it doesn't look, so it shouldn't be an affront to Kavod HaTorah, we call him back to read the last few psukim, which is why usually the Maftir is shorter than the Shvi. In a few occasions, the Maftir and the Shvi are the same length, but that has to do with how many psukim there are in the Shvi'i. We call them to, and we divide it by having the Chatzi Kaddish between the 7th Aliyah and the Maftir. So since the Maftir is not really a real Aliyah, but is only being called, not for the purpose of calling, of reading the Torah per se, but for the purpose of showing deference to the Torah, so that's an additional aliyah, but is not counted in the seven. Now the Gemara says Meitve, three lines from the bottom. Meitve is an attack. Hamaftir benavi lo yifchot me'esrim ve'echad psukim keneged shiva shekaru b'torah. How many psukim does each oleh have to read?
Three.
How many olim are there?
Seven.
Seven times three is? 21. This is not advanced mathematics. So the Haftorah has to be at least 21 psukim. Because what's the minimal Kriyat HaTorah you could possibly have?
Three.
No. 21. 3 times 7 is 21.
Well, that can be the same pasuk, so we say a couple of pasukim say it multiple times.
Not on Shabbat.
Although he doesn't actually specifically, this right there, Rishpon doesn't actually say it's on Shabbat. The same thing would have technically apply for Yom Tov.
That's true. Except we're talking about the Haftorah, we're talking about the Kriyas Torah on Shabbos. So in the context of Kriyas Torah on Shabbos, we're talking also about the Haftorah on Shabbos. V'im ita, v'im yesh. If the Maftir is the eighth aliyah, so then shouldn't there be 24 psukim?
No, Because the Makta is repeated. So why would you think you would need something?
Well, but in fact, you're, in other words, the Havamina here is that the Haftorah is in place of the people that went up to the Torah. So minimally, how many Pesukim have to be read on Shabbos morning? No, 24. Because minimally there are eight guys that get aliyahs, even though the eighth guy is what we call the... Right? And a chinami. But the minimum number of Pesukim that have to be read on a Shabbos morning turns out to be 24. Right? Because really you have eight, or it doesn't matter what you call them, 7 plus 1, 7 plus maftir, still, what's Pesach HaKol? How many guys did it go up? Eight. How many Pesukim have to be read? 24.
So you have the maftir is 21, and the other three from the Haftorah. That means the maftir is 3, and the 21 from the Haftorah gets 24.
Which is the same as saying 8 times 3.
Right. No, I'm saying, but the Haftorah itself doesn't have to be 21. I mean, it doesn't have 24.
Why?
21. Because it's repeating the three Pesukim.
Senator, so you're giving an answer, but in reality, whether you're repeating or you're saying new Pesukim, and by the way, sometimes there are new Pesukim. Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, the Maftir is a completely different Kriya. If the when the Haftorah, you know, this idea that the Haftorah is somehow thematically connected to the parasha, which goes back to the idea that the Haftorah was instituted at a time when Kriyas HaTorah was forbidden, and the Haftorah was a bit like a placeholder, which also makes sense why the number of Pesukim has to be the same. Because if the minimum number of Pesukim of the Torah that you had to read was 21, or according to the Havamina, 24, so in place of reading the Torah which has been forbidden, we're allowed to read from the Navi, so we're going to choose a Navi that somehow is going to remind us of what we would have been reading this Shabbat if Torah reading hadn't been forbidden. And there are those books. There are not any number of books that deal with the connection between, what's his name? Rav Shaviv has a book. Yaakovson has a book. What was Yaakovson's first name? Rav Yisachar Yaakovson, you know, wrote the books on Tefillah and all those. So about the connection between the Haftorah. But when it's a special Yontif, when it's like Shabbat Rosh Chodesh, we preempt the regular Haftorah, or when it's one of the Arba Parshiot, when you have a special Maftir, like Parsha Zachor or Parsha Zachodesh, so then the Haftorah reflects not the theme of the whatever the Parashat HaShavua happens to be, but that's deferred for whatever the special Haftorah.
So it's all Sefer Dvarim.
Well, Sefer Dvarim has the, you have the Shiva de Nechemta and the...
None of them are... Content, maybe.
Yeah, although I think that some try to find a connection there in all cases. Yeah,
why don't we
on Shabbos, what do we do on Rosh Chodesh? On Rosh Chodesh, you read whatever the Parashat HaShavua happens to be. And then you read from the second Sefer Torah, the Maftir. What's the Maftir for Rosh Chodesh on Shabbat? The Korban of Rosh Chodesh. Just like on the seventh day of Pesach, what do you read? You read Shirat Hayam. And then in the second Sefer, you read the Korban for Shvi Shel Chag.
This is Shabbat, so you'll have your Parsha and the regular Maftir.
Yeah, and then. Well, what the Machar Chodesh is a different thing, because there it's really kind of stands in its own category. That when Shabbat is Erev Rosh Chodesh, which doesn't affect, in no way does it affect the davening. Besides, you say Birkat HaChodesh, which you would do if Rosh Chodesh was on any day of the coming week. But there's no special maftir for Machar Chodesh. There's a special Haftorah, but that's sui generis. Let's leave that on the side. But why don't we read, whenever there's a special korban, the maftir becomes the psukim of that korban, except on
the
Shabbat. Why don't we...
Because the Korban is too short.
So you could add on other Pesukim. And for example, when we read on Rosh Chodesh, the Korban of Rosh Chodesh, we also read the Korban of Shabbat. They could have found a way around it, including the possibility that maybe you can read less than three Pesukim if it's an Inyan Shalem.
Yeah, but it seems like the mafter on a special day has two separate
Tzvei dinim.
Because one, like we're saying here, is we have a mafter just because, you know, we want to have kavod l'torah, so whoever reads the mafter has to like read something else. But on Yantav or
Shodesh,
it's like we want to have a second sefer Torah. It's not stam reading. And a second sefer Torah.
Why do you want to have a second sefer Torah?
It's Kedushat Hayom.
Oh, it's also Kedushat Hayom on Shabbos.
Kedushat Hayom, we have one sefer Torah, and then we have this thing where we don't want to be mochel the cover of the Torah. So we have the guy who reads the Torah also reads the three Pesukim. But for Rosh Chodesh, whatever, we have a second Sefer Torah for Rosh Chodesh. But instead of Lareh Atircha de Tzibor, we're going to add a ninth Aliyah. We combine, I'm just making this up, but we combine the two concepts.
Maybe.
Although right, otherwise, you should take out a two Sefer Torah every Shabbat.
That's precisely the question. You should. One should be the Parsha Shavua, and then the Maftir should be Uviyoma Shabbat Shneg.
That's a different question.
Right? So David gives one answer that Enochinami we would do that, but that kriya is too short. It's only two psukim, and you need three psukim, so we don't do it. The other answer the Mishnah Berurah says is that if we were to do that, then the haftarah would have to be the same every week, because the haftarah has to match whatever the second sefer is. If the maftir comes from the second sefer, the haftarah has to match that, which is why on Al Chagim or on Rosh Chodesh the haftarah matches up with the second sefer. And it wouldn't be like people pay enough. This is not what the Mishnah Berurah says, but I presume this is what he means. You know, the poor haftarah, it suffers enough from the Kiddush Club, right? That people give up the words of the prophets small batch, and you know, so like, but if it was the same haftarah every week, then it would really not stand the chance. That's what the halacha is. That whenever there's a second sefer, it uvda. It's that's the case. Whenever there's a Rosh Chodesh, whenever there's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, and you read the, so that you have a haftarah that corresponds not to whatever that week's parasha happened to be. When is it not always true?
It's not true on Shabbat, Chol Hamoed, Pesach, and Shkisha.
Shabbat, Chol Hamoed, Pesach.
It wasn't the same after.
Say again?
Right, and I'm thinking. On Shabbat, Chol Hamoed, Pesach.
Yeah.
You read it. What's the maftir?
On Shabbat, Chol Hamoed, Pesach, this is the haftarah of
Shabbat. The maftir would be Korban.
Yeah, so then you have a special haftarah.
But then it's, since Pesach has the same for all of Chol Hamoed.
Oh, I see. Well, yeah, except the I don't know.
So you would say that
the haftarah,
maftir and two different haftarahs. So then that could happen then. You wouldn't necessarily have to.
Unless you say that those whatever that haftarah is, it's matim for whatever it happens to be. It happens whether it's this korban or that korban. In other words, with the korban, it's just difference of the amount of animals.
No, it's the same maftir. But they came up with two different haftarahs.
Yeah. Okay.
So if you can come with two different haftarahs with the same maftir, then lechora you would be able to come with two different.
I hear what you're saying.
No, I think it breaks down the whole principle. Once you don't have to have a rule,
I can't hear you.
Who says the part of the Shavua has to come first? Again, I'm just playing devil's
advocate. What do you
mean? Let's say you go back to the and say, okay, we're going to read the three. We're going to find three. We're going to take the two psukim for the mafia for the korban of Shabbos. We're going to stretch out the three psukim. We're going to find some kind of exception. We're going to read that every Shabbos.
Yeah.
So why can't you read that before you read Parshat Peshavua?
I mean, it seems that the ikar takana of Kriyat Torah is to go through the whole Torah every week. And whether you go through it on a yearly cycle or on a tri-yearly cycle or whatever it is. Oh, you know, by the way, we found, thank you,
to Tom. Just this past month, his grandson was reading Temple of Eight, and they'd switched from the year before to his older brother. They had done, when they had done yearly, now they switched to tri-annually, I guess because they didn't have enough Balei Kriya. And my daughter was like shocked, very confused with the whole thing. And so we just learned about it. But there they didn't do it like, you know, this week a little bit of Chayasar and this a little bit of Chayasar. They did it every year. They'll be the first third of, one year they'll be the first third of Chayasar, the second third.
Oh, so they're still on the Parshat HaShavua,
yeah, but
they don't read the whole Parashah.
They read third of it, and they have the same Maftir. Like, they did the regular, you know, they jumped ahead. They read Shlishi. They divided Shlishi into three parts.
What about a very short Parashah that can't be divided? That would only work if you have a Parashah. Are they not makbid that they can't make the breaks when you can't make the breaks? And anyway, but Tom discovered, Tom confirmed what I said, based on no knowledge, but I said that this idea that when there was the triennial cycle in Eretz Yisrael, we are not in possession of a knowledge of how it was broken up. We're just aware that this idea existed, but we don't know exactly how the Torah was broken. In addition to knowing exactly, you know, how it was broken up, that on this Shabbat in the second year they laned, you know, from this pasuk to that pasuk. What were the nicknames of those parashiyot?
The one thing I can tell is I remember reading once, it was an interesting story, that they have an interesting connection. I was looking up the story of Dat Mikra about Migdal Bavel. And in the notes, they mentioned that when they had the triennial cycle, there was the Haftorah for Migdal Bavel was the section in Sefer Tzefanya where it talks about how everyone's going to speak the same language. So he, in the footnote, they have a reference to an article which I at one point looked at but didn't pay that much attention, basically, I think, mapping out the Haftarot for the various...
Based on speculation, or...?
It's an academic article. I don't know.
The
I imagine
there the readings themselves.
Honestly, I mean, we can look it up in a second and thing. The article I had to look up for you, and then I think I looked up and forgot why I looked it up. So I didn't even photocopy it, but I had like a million things to look up. But I just thought it interesting that it was thematic. You know, there was definitely a connection between Migdal Bavel and this Tikkun Tzefanya, which otherwise aren't read.
Anyway, let's go back. So the Gemara says, Enochinami, if in fact you have to read, eight guys have to go up, and each has to read three psukim, then the Haftarah should have to be 24 psukim. But the Gemara answers, as you all anticipated, Kevan de Mishon Kvod HaTorahu, Kenegdo Nami Lo Boi. No. How many aliyahs are there really? Seven. The Maftir doesn't really count, so we don't need to count. We don't need to add three additional psukim from the Navi in its place. So therefore, the Haftorah really only needs to be 21 psukim, 7 times 3, which is the main Ikar Kriyat HaTorah.
So is that what we do?
That's what we do. The Haftorah always has 21 psukim, except...
More.
For when it doesn't, no, when that's more, endless of ourselves. You know, like my kid, I have a 10-year-old, like he just wised up to the fact that, hey, the Sephardim, they really make out like bandits. In 9 out of 10 times in the Haftarah, there's an asterisk, I'm exaggerating, 9 out of 10, there's an asterisk, Hasfaradin Misayimim Kan. Like when it's like a really long Haftarah, the Sephardim get off the hook.
Of course, they get a book in a very bizarre way. Like certainly with Parsha Vayera, they stop when the kid is dead.
Wait, actually, there's a... Well, I just heard a joke, but I don't want to ruin it like that. But it's like Matim to Sephardim. It's like, she sent for the Rav. It's like, of course he's going to answer them. It's like, you know what's going to happen.
So I think there's one or two cases where the Ashkenazi Haftarah is shorter. But in the overwhelming majority of cases, when they're not identical... The Sfaradim have a short after. So, you know, so your kid sits next to you in shul and he's looking in the Chumash. He says, wait a second. Like, what's like?
You can ask me what's the trade off.
Tell me about Slichot.
Yeah, tell me about Slichot.
They come to our shul, Shabbos.
So the Mishnah, so the Gemara says, Matkif lo Rava. Vahare. So since the Haftarah needs to have 21 Pesukim, so wait a second. Olosechem Sfu Dolohavin Esrin V'chad. Doesn't have the, is a posik in, it's the Haftarah for Parshat Tzav. The Haftarah for Parshat Tzav, which is taken from Yirmiyahu. It's fascinating. The Gemara assumes if we tell you the first two words of a random posuk in Yirmiyahu, you'll know that that's the Haftarah. If we were writing the Gemara now, we would say, wait a second, the Haftarah for Parashat Tzav has less than 21 psukim. But the Gemara assumed if I said, Va'olosechem Sfu, you would know that that's, I mean, who wouldn't know that that's not the Haftarah for Parashat Tzav? Did you know that? Is there anybody who's bar mitzvah's Parashat Tzav?
Wait, how do you know that this is related? Why do we care that it's Parashat Tzav?
No, it doesn't. It's just an example. It's the one example of a Haftarah which is less than 21 psukim.
Not on the phone, but I'm saying you, in our nomenclature we refer to this as Haftarah Parashat Tzav.
But that's the only point that it's relevant. It's not relevant in its context as a perek from Navi.
No, but it's relevant like the, you know, just like we have a Parshat Balak. If I say Parshat Balak, you know, it means Parshat Balak. You're saying the Haftorah that's called Olotechem Sfu.
Yeah, but except nobody knows, except for maybe Parshat Nachamu.
Yeah, we don't. I don't care what we think. I know that there's a Parsha.
I know, I'm just saying. I understand what you're saying.
Today we don't,
because who knows that? Who can name, besides maybe your own Bar Mitzvah Parsha and Nachamu Ami, like where we know certain Parshiot are famous for
the
Parsha Shuvah.
Or Parsha Balak is irrelevant. This is a Haftorah.
Yeah,
it's too short.
But if we would have said, and what about the Haftorah of a Parsha Tzav?
No, but you wouldn't. They didn't use that nomenclature.
I know, okay. But we do. And
no,
it's curious.
Jeff wants to be impressed by the fact that they knew it by the words.
Right?
But it's not so impressive because we do know the question. No. Is it
for sure?
Yeah.
No.
I did my homework.
No.
It's partial.
No. But is it maybe in a triennial? No, it's possible to be a both. So therefore, you wouldn't space
no,
it. Maybe they had that for whatever they were reading in the.
I like
because I don't see anything in here, even in Seinfeld or any Rashi, anywhere. No one mentions Tzav.
So, it's not relevant.
But maybe
did my homework.
No,
but,
come on. I'm not.
Anyway, so this Haftorah from Yirmiyahu Perek Zayin, which is the Haftorah of Parshat Tzav, Dolo Havin Esrim V'chad. It didn't have 21. There is only a 17 psukim. The Koranian? What? No, according to everyone.
I would assume that they had different Haftorah anyway, the different reading.
Yeah, but
maybe at some point.
Check the recording from before you came.
No, but maybe it could be at some point they had.
No, but that's not the answer. All right. So, but there's an example of a Haftorah. The point is, there is a Haftorah, at least one Haftorah, that we read less than 21 psukim. So Shani Hatam, the Salik Inyanya. If you look at the Haftorah in the context and say for Yirmiyahu, those 17 psukim constitute a whole unit. And we already saw a precedent that even though for certain readings there's a minimum amount, but there's an exception to the rule where if a smaller amount constitutes a self-contained parasha, a self-contained unit, so then we let you get away with it. What was the example? What was the precedent that we saw previously? Yafeh. The Kriyas HaTorah and Purim. How many psukim do you? What's the minimum number of psukim you can ever have for Kriyas HaTorah? No.
Let me find it for Shabbat.
Ever.
Three.
No. That's for an Aliyah, but for a whole Kriyas HaTorah, the minimum number of Olim is three. Say it, but Sach HaKol, you have how many?
I have nine.
More.
Not nine.
No. The minimal number of psukim, we learned this in the Gemara on Daf Kaf Aleph. The minimum number of psukim you can ever have is 10. Why 10? So the Gemara gave a number of reasons. 10. Right? The minimum number of olim you ever have on a Sheni, on a Chamishi, on a Shabbos Mincha is 3. There's no example of a Kriyas HaTorah of less than 3 olim. The minimum number of psukim that any one ole has to read is 3. This is how he got onto which question? And Rosh Chodesh. Right? How do you divide those psukim over four olim so that each person gets at least three? So do you do it? We do it by going back and jumping back and chapping an extra posuk.
So why don't we use this rule there?
Where? In the Haftorah?
Or Rosh Chodesh.
No.
You should be able to read two psukim because it's a whole...
And Yirmiyahu, they should reread?
I'm saying in Rosh Chodesh, if I remember the last piece there, there's a parshia that's only two psukim, right? That was part of the problem.
No, it doesn't solve the problem.
It had to do with where you make the breaks.
There's 4, 3, and 2? A parshia that's just two psukim.
Right.
And we say, but we
can't.
We're not solving the problem of the two psukim. We're talking about the problem of the entire section being less than 10.
Right, but that's an entire section is less than 3.
No, so that we never entertain, that one ole can read less than 3 psukim.
Which is what I said about the reason that I'd heard, the reason for the Maftar on Shabbat, was you couldn't do, even if it was a complete unit, otherwise if it was a complete unit, then you would have read the Maftar.
So we never have an example of one ole reading less than 3 psukim. But we do have an example of sachako, and that's when we say that you have 3 olim, and each person has to have at least 3, but one obviously has to have
4,
so that you total minimally 10. In most cases, we have more than 10. In most Kriyas HaTorah and Sheni V'Chamishi, you have more than 10. Right? But on Purim, you only have 9. Because the whole inyan of V'Yavo Amalek is only 9 psukim. So there we also say, since it's a self-contained unit, we let you go with it. Even though it's not our practice here, but there are minyanim where they jump back a posuk. Where I think for Shlishi they repeat the last pasuk of Sheni, so that together 9 psukim will have been read, but that's an example. But that's not, I don't think that's the Ikar Adin, and it's certainly not our practice here. Mikori does not do that, and he's pretty frum about these things. So that's the answer here. That there is precedent for. For a shorter haftarah, and this one particular case is the only time it actually comes up. V'ha'omar Rav Shmuel bar Abba zimnin sagin havok hamina kameder Rav Yochanan. Many times I was there by Rav Yochanan. V'chi havu krinan aserap suke amarlan afsiku. So the guy would get up for the haftarah. He'd start leaning. And after 10 psukim, Rabbi Yochanan would tell him, "No, enough already. Sit down."
For Aliyah or Sacha?
No, for the Haftarah. So how could that be? So the Gemara answers, "Mokom sheyesh turgaman shani." No. That was in the days when they had a turgaman. What was the turgaman? The person would read the pasuk, and then the translator would translate it into Aramaic.
Like the Temanim
still do. So because of whenever you have the Turgaman, so then you don't need to have 21 psukim. Either because each posuk counts twice, or because it's Tircha d'Tzibura. It would be too much.
10 times 2 is only 20.
Oh, except 10 times 2 is only 20. So that's a good question on the answer. No, excellent. That 21 is really the minimum. The Tani Rav Tachlifa Bar Shmuel Lo Shanu Elo B'Makom Shein Turgaman. Ava Makom Sheish Turgaman Posek. Rashi says Mikum Sheish Torah Letzibur. It's interesting what. Like what was considered a real Torah Chitzibur? Davening's pretty long. Mm. Like you think reading an extra 10 psukim is really what's going to make the difference on Shabbos morning?
Well, everything else is also shorter. We've had a lot of stuff right. time.
So it's kind of like, in other words, like we who daven much longer than they did probably. Because we have like the accretions of all of the years of things being added on. Like nobody ever said take something out of davening. Somebody came up with an idea and said...
people said take stuff out of that, but nobody listened.
Nobody's ever succeeded in taking anything out of that.
I just picked up in the States. I got a the polychrome Haggadah.
Oh, yes. Where you can peel back the...
It has the different, like, what's biblical, Tanaic, Amoraic, and medieval, and Gaonim, and...
You can, like, peel back the layers.
It's printed in different colors. You can see when things were...
Right. Like, if we were to do Leila Seder... Like the, like, you know, so the Haggadah itself is, except they sat Kol HaLaila. It was there, they trusted people to do it on their own. We don't trust people to do it on their own, so we, like, provide the text.
No, but when you say Tirchot HaTzibur, couldn't it be like, okay, davening is pretty long, but the Shmoneh Esrei is long, but it's understandable why it's long. Here you're writing under the five psukim. People need to go crazy because you say, like, what's the point?
Shorter.
What's the point? I mean, that's the tirchot. Like, you go start thinking, like, why are you writing the sign?
The Shmoneh Esrei is shorter.
What?
It's not Shmoneh Esrei. I think there's something in Bracha that mentioned how
on Shabbos.
Yeah, it's shorter because also the tirchot is Zibra. I think they said something. I remember learning in Bracha at one point that they also, like, the Amidah is shorter because of it.
No, because, like, you tell me, like, for me, Tirchot Zibur isn't so much, like, this is longer than
we know
this.
What Tirchot Zibur is for.
Yeah, this is longer than this is. That's not the question. Okay, why is it longer? Is there a valid reason for it to be longer? Okay, make it longer, fine. Zolam. If there's no point, then why are you doing it?
Okay. Anyway, that's the thing about it. Now the Mishnah, there's a new Mishnah. Here on Kaf Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara, the Mishnah here lists all of the things that a Dvarim Shebe Kedusha, not all of the things, many of the things, particularly the things, no, that's not even true either. The Mishnah lists a number of things that are Dvarim Shebe Kedusha that require a minyan. Ein porsin al hashma. I'll come back to that. The ein ovrin lifnei ateva. You don't have a shliach tzibur ovrin lifnei ateva. You don't have a shliach tzibur who's davening, who's conducting the services, unless there's a minyan. The ein no sinet kapehin, and you don't have birkat kohanim, unless there's a minyan. The ein korin b'torah, the ein maftirin b'navi. You neither have a kriyas haTorah nor you have the maftir unless there's a minyan. Ve'eino sin ma'amad u'moshav. Ma'amad u'moshav. You see Rashi? This was a ceremony that was done at Levayot. It may have a remnant in the minhag that we have today. If you go to Levaya in Yerushalayim or in Beit Shemesh, where they have what's called the Minhag Yerushalayim, so you know as you're going from the Bet HaHespedim to wherever the kever is. We've all been to Levayas in Beit Shemesh. Yes? So when, you know, they have the Beit HaHespedim where they have the smiley face?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Strangest thing.
Yeah.
On the wall behind where the Maspid, they have a Pasuk, and the Pasuk is in a half circle. I forget what Pasuk it is. The Pasuk is written in, like, in a half circle, right, at the bottom. And then there are these two windows above. It looks like a smiley face.
Lonnie, yeah.
When her father was buried there, she got a kick out of that. And my father-in-law had this, you know, that there's, like, that phenomena that the human brain is wired to see faces and things, mm-hmm. Right? Like, if I put two dots and a line, you know, like the human mind identifies that as, like, a face. So there's, like, a reason, evolutionary development is wired this way. So anyway, so when you're going from the where the Hespedim are to wherever the Kfura is, so the guy that's in charge, he's a very nice guy. The guy that's in charge of the cemetery, his name is Freilich, which is like a kind of like...
it's like out of an Agnon story,
the Kavran's name would be Freilich, right? Jolly, Mr. Jolly, right? So Freilich, Rav Freilich, he goes, he's got that lantern, like when you're going at night, and you walk, you know, 20 feet, and he says, you know... Akavya ben Mahala, Da lifnei mi ata bato lanata olech lifnei, right? And then they stop and they say Kaddish. And then you walk another.
That's only Yerushalayim?
That's Minhag Yerushalayim. In America, they don't. In America, they don't do this.
Yeah,
so Israel is influenced by this. What's called what we call the Minhag Yerushalayim is not limited to Yerushalayim. It's the Minhag of the Talmidim of the Gro. There's certain Kabbalistic influences. There's certain other influences. When we say the Minhag of the Talmidim of the Gro, it doesn't mean everything the Gro said to do. It was this amalgam of things of the Prushim that came in Aliyah in the 18th century. Those they were the founders of this minhag that we don't say here. Baruch Hashem le'olam amen v'amen. Right, I was in Chutz Laaretz 2 weeks ago. Like I completely forgot. You know that bracha, that long bracha, the third bracha after Shema, Baruch Hashem le'olam amen. Once upon a time I knew it baal peh. Yeah. Now I don't remember a word. And like they get up to after the second bracha, like I get up because I'm waiting for Kaddish. Like every night, I just couldn't get used to this again, that they say this third bracha. I'd stand up, and they're saying this, that third bracha, it's as long as the whole Kriya Shema altogether. Right? So that's Minhag Yerushalayim.
One of them, unfortunately, about this, says, when you're in a place like that, if you call, you should just take longer to say Kriya Shema. Here's an opportunity to take
okay. So, etc. So anyway... So that it may have its remnant there, but what was this? Ma'amadu Moshav Lamet Keshenosim Et Hamet LeKovro. When they're taking the body out to be buried, Hayu Yoshvin Sheva Pa'amim. They would stop seven times. By us, so they do it however many times it takes to get. Depends on where you're going to, right? If you're buried, like they've extended in Beit Shemesh, they've built a whole new area. What?
Also
in Kfar Etzion also, right?
Or if you're going to do that, has to be here, bring the body to...
Yeah, except you don't stop with the cars to...
When Rabbi Siegel.
Siegel?
Yeah, they did it. They stopped, they kept saying, and they did Kaddish along the way. And then
they stopped the cars and everybody got out and said Kaddish?
No. Until from the...
Oh, yes.
They stopped a couple times before they got there.
Yeah. So they would stop seven times, Livchot Et Hamet... So the head of the Chevra Kadisha, they would walk and he would tell people, sit, dear ones. They weren't saying Kaddish, they were saying like these mini Hespedim. And they stopped at these seven stations of the Hesped along the way, pardon the expression, and they would stop. So this thing about having these seven stations of Hespedim along the way was something that was only done if there was a minion present at the Levaya, because if less than a minion, it's not mechubad. It's not mechubad. You could, or you maybe just couldn't keep it up if you only have a couple guys.
There's a Hasidic minhag that they do seven hakafot.
There's a what?
There's a Hasidic minhag. They do seven hakafot
around
the body before they put it in the grave.
Really? I never saw that. So anyway, but this minhag of doing the ma'amadu moshav was only with a minion. The enomin birkat avelim. Birkat avelim was apparently a bracha that they used to recite when they came back from the levaya. Maybe at the what we call the sudat havra'ah. You know, that first meal that the Avelim eat when they come back from the cemetery, that used to be done in the Rechava Shel Ir, in the public square. It wasn't done at home. And while the Avelim were sitting there and eating their meal when they came back from the thing, so there was a certain bracha that was recited. This may also have its remnant in... This is not something people know, but you know there's a separate... there's a separate zimun for Sheva Brachos. Right? That everybody knows. Dvai Haser, Vagam Charon, etc. There's a separate zimun for a Beit Avel, which is not so common. People don't always do this, I don't think.
Well, I mean, usually wouldn't join
I
you
guess
the meal
you got
anyway.
There for the meal anyway, but anyway, so this
you
is
have to, and you have to attend for that, right? You're saying?
Yeah. So, for the separate zima, I don't think you need to have ten. But whatever this birkat avelim, which is again, this is a minhag that's no longer in practice. Whatever this bracha was, it was only said with ten. V'tanchumei avelim. Birkat Avelim uvatanchunayam Avelim. This was this thing that they did. Birkat Chatanim. Birkat Chatanim is what we call Sheva Brachot. You can't say Sheva Brachot with less than 10, neither at the chuppah nor at the. Now, you can have a wedding with less than 10, right? In the old days, there, I'm sure my grandparents, my mother's parents got married in the rabbi's study. Their parents were there. The rabbi was there. Rabbi's study probably couldn't fit more than that. That's so you didn't have a big fancy, right? So you had two. You had the Rav, you had two Edim. In those days, the Rav might have been one of the Edim. The Rav and the Shamus were the two Edim, and you had whatever it was. So they said the Birchat Erusin. They read the Ksuba. They did the Hariat Mikudeshet Li. Right, but they didn't recite the Sheva Brachot. I don't know how many people were at my grandparents' wedding, but it could be people that just get married. You know, in the rabbi's study, you can have a kiddushin with less than a minyan, although it's preferable to have a minyan. But if you don't have a minyan, you just don't recite the Sheva Brachos, right? And certainly neither at the meals, what we call Sheva Brachot at the meals. If you don't have a minyan, you don't recite the Sheva Brachot. The ein mezamnim b'shem. You don't say in the zimun, you don't say Elokeinu unless you have a minyan. Pachot mi'asera. Uvekarkaot tisha v'kohen. If somebody's makdish property, you see Rashi, v'karkaot shel hekdish. Haba liftotan tzarich asara ve'echad mehen kohen. If somebody's makdish dedicates a piece of property to Beit HaMikdash and then wants to be podeit, to redeem it, how do you know how much it's worth? So the evaluation, the shama'ut, what do you call a shama'i? A assessor. The property assessment has to be done with a minyan. And one of those 10 guys has to be a Kohen. Why you need to have a minion and why you need to have a Kohen, the Gemara will discuss. V'chein, v'adam ki yotze bahen. And the same thing with a human. So what does that mean with a human? That's what we call arachin, right? If somebody says, I give my... It was just a shortcut way of saying... Well, however much you were worth. So the value is connected to... Yeah, no, and also whatever the sale would be in the open slave market.
Two different things.
What?
One is arachin and one is saying my value.
Right, so one is arachin that Torah prescribes, that men are this and women are that. And but if you just say, whatever my value is... Right. So then there needs to be an assessment, and that is done also with a minion of 10, one of whom is good.
I mean, if for some reason somebody said it, then they probably have the grace to give.
Well, Hakdashoter altogether. I mean, generally we say Bli Neder, but if somebody...
No, but someone said, I'm going to give to Tzedakah my... we don't have the slave thing.
But Tzedakah?
Well, whatever. Yeah, and they didn't say Bli Neder, and they made a Neder, they would do it. So is there any way today we'd be able to assess someone's...
It would probably be a meaningless Neder. I don't know. I'm speculating.
What if they've trade neder?
No, but if I say if somebody really makes a neder and says I'm going to bleed neder, I'm no dare the value of my home. I'm no dare the value of my car. So we have ways of assessing that. You call in a realtor, you call in three realtors and you take the average. Right, but the value of my home is something that's fairly easy to.
In the Zika, do they have issues of the value of a person? Is there any sort of civil damages of a person?
Yeah,
being
but
killed?
I think in terms of Zika, I think that's a more objective.
I'm saying so that wouldn't be the same. Anyways, if someone was
no, because in other words, for Hektish, it's whatever it is. In other words, if you say that my value. Meaning my value, Lu Yitzhar, I was sold as a slave, so my value 20 years ago was a lot more than what it's worth today. Right? Some things don't improve with age. But, so if somebody were to say that...
What kind of slave?
I guess.
Maybe they wanted you to be a librarian.
Be a teacher. Yeah, yes,
do they have such a thing as civil damages for for, let's say, someone was killed? I don't know. Like, I think, like, you know, O.J. Simpson was sued by because.
If he was guilty.
No, I'm saying it. They sued. They couldn't get a copy of the crime. They got up. They got
no, no, I don't
there's
think
no
so.
Scenario where, think there's so. No scenario where they would do that. And then you could say, well, the person was worth to me, you know,
I don't think so.
Amount of money.
I don't think so. No. There is if you kill a slave.
But it's also, it's
kill
a set
slave, you're killing property. What?
But it's a set. It's a set.
It's a set, yeah. Set. But here, for Hektish, where you say, I'm no dare, the amount of. The amount of money that I would be on the slave market. So that's. You have to go and you have to see.
The wife's lawyer says, well, if we were to stay married for this minute, you know, and he makes this much money per year. And
yeah, but that's not in halacha. Right. That's in contemporary divorce law. So that's an interesting question. Today, if somebody were to say, it's a nonsense statement, since there is no slave market today. Right?
I have a feeling somebody's probably had some. She wrote this in the past, you know, 1,000 years when they had.
Yeah, so I'm just speculating what it is. So that's the Mishnah, the Gemara. Porsin al Hashma. Porsin al Hashma, or according to some Girsaot, Porsin et Hashma, is a great mystery.
I would guess it was like barful, no? You can't do barful before.
Oh, that would be a very elegant answer. What does it mean, porsin al hashma?
Before, you haven't said before.
Yeah, that would be a very elegant answer. It would be a very simple answer. Unfortunately, I don't think anybody really says it, at least not only that.
What does poris mean?
Ah, it depends on what you how you define
literally,
what poresis.
Literally, it means like you have like porsim, like what is it?
Ufros salenu sukat shlamet.
No, but saying but like the porsim. Does this mean like before Pesach, porsim and porsim?
Yeah, so porsim means either to proceed, or it means lachtoch, like a prusa. So Rashi says, and in this case, Rashi is not the simplest explanation. Ein porsim al hashma, minyan 10 guys. Haba levet haKnesset laachar shekaru atzibur et shema. You come to shul late. They finished shema, but they're not yet up to the amida. And you want to catch up. Omeid echad vaomer kaddish uvarchu uvracha rishona shebekriyat shema. Porsin lashon chatzi hadavar. They would do a reader's digest of the davening. Right? This side minion, in order to catch up with everyone else and say the Amidah with them, or at least to be able to answer Kedusha with them, would say the Kaddish before Baruch Hu, the Bracha of Yotzer Or, the first Bracha before Shema. They would skip the second Bracha, and they would say Shema. So porsin, they would cut out part of the davening. Others say it was like this. If you miss the davening, you ever see this? Somebody comes late to shul. Happens at mincha. Yeah. Oh, so wait, so why did they say the bracha of Yotzer Or? Because Yotzer Or perhaps has, so why can't you, why do you need a minion to do this? Because it has the Kedusha in it. Right? And there, in the first bracha of Shema in the morning, where you have Kadosh, 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 Baruch, right? So, there is a shita, we don't paskin this way, there is a shita that you only ever say that bracha with a minion, because it has the Kedusha in it.
Well, they say you should, if you don't have any, you should read it the Tamim.
Yes, that's also not the opinion, but some people might be better at that, right?
Somebody's really davening by itself, you wouldn't, according to that shita, you wouldn't be saying that.
According to that shita, you wouldn't say that bracha, right? So whatever porsin al hashma is, it's this way of doing. So you know, sometimes like somebody comes late to davening, they miss the minion. There was always a guy in YU who used to do this. I couldn't understand it. This guy in YU used to come late to minion every day. And after davening was over, and why, when I was in YU, now it's different, I'm sure. When I was in YU, the latest official minyan, I think, was at 7:30. I don't remember. I think it was the latest official minyan was at 7:30. So you daven from 7:30 to 8:30. You go, you have breakfast, so you could be in the base medrash at 9 o'clock. So I don't know what it's like today. I'm sure that today it's people get to the base medrash at 6 a.m. But because you know, malin bekodesh. But in my day, if you got to the base medrash at 9 a.m., crickets. There was 1 year, the year after I came back from Israel, when I still had a little bit of Fabrent in me, I really made this effort to be in the base medrash on time at 9 a.m. You get there at 9 a.m., you're the only one. You can have any seat you wanted. But there was like a kind of informal minyan that started at 8:30. Was the latest, which was made say. I remember when I was in YU, I never got to sleep. Like the earliest I think I ever went to sleep all my years in YU was like 1:30 in the morning. Right? It wasn't possible to go to sleep. No, but it wasn't possible to be awake, you know, to be asleep before. There was just too much going on. There was too much noise. So there was an 8:30 minyan, which would end at, you know, whatever time, 9:10, 9:15. And then you'd grab breakfast, and then you get to the base medrash whenever you did. But this was an unofficial minyan because it was designed to not get to the base medrash on time. There was one guy who couldn't even do that. And he would come in at some point, so that when davening was over, and people were wrapping up their tefillin, he would say Baruch Hu, and then he would say to himself, Birchos Shema and Kriya Shema, and then he would do like we do, like the Heichi Kedusha, you know, you say the first three brachot out loud, and then when you get up to the Kedusha, you say the Kedusha, and you have at least 10 people hanging around that answer Kedusha with you, and then you continue the rest of the Amidah quietly to yourself. So maybe that's...
So every morning people have to hang around for him to do this.
What?
So every morning people had to hang around for him.
It wasn't Matria. It was a minyan that had, you know, maybe 80 people in it. So as people take off its film, there are always 10 people around that are willing to answer Kedusha.
By himself, assuming that you'd answer?
He would, in other words, he would do, like we do, when we do Heichi Kedusha, right? So he would say the first three brachot out loud. And when you get up to the Kedusha, since there is a minyan of people present, basically he's davening, it's a way to daven b'yechidus, but to also have the Kedusha. Right? So perhaps Porsin al Shema is something related to this. But the interesting thing is the Mishnah mentions Porsin al Hashema or Porsin Eta. You understand Porsin al Hashema is one thing, Porsin Eta Shema means you, it doesn't mean that you say only half the Shema, but you say only half the Brachot of Shema. So Porsin al Hashema, well, something the Mishnah states, assuming that everybody knows what it's talking about, the Gemara doesn't take the trouble to explain what it is. By the time you get to the Gaonim and the Rishonim, it's already completely unclear what this Porsin al Hashma is, and there's at least four major shitot, and each of those shitot is not perfectly clear. So when you're done with it, there's about eight different shitot of what this is. But whatever it is, it has to be done with a minyan. What the source for the idea of a minyan, the well-known drasha, the surprising idea that minyan is learned from where? From the Meraglim, those rotten guys, is the home base for that well-known drasha, is this Gemara that's here. What? But that's not the. That's not.
Where's this come in,
Allah? It's not 10 people.
But that's not.